Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX, and again on Saturday morning at 9 on KATX and KWBY, as Angela Robinson joins Terry Slavens to share important financial information to help you live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, estate and tax planning, and much more, all covered now on Life Planning 101.
And welcome in to Life Planning 101 on KETX KWBY. I'm Terry Slavens and joined by Angela Kennedy Robinson. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning. And I cannot tell you how excited I am about today's topic. And we have a guest speaker for almost the entire show today.
Wow.
This is going to be really exciting. The gentleman, he actually came to Fort Worth, did one of our dinners for us. And like us, you know, we always talk about helping people live life on purpose. And it's really not about the money. It's about what the money does. Allows you the freedom to be able to live life on purpose if you don't let it control you and you control it.
Right.
Well, this gentleman came in our whereabouts via a trustee that we use out of Colorado that helps us with a lot of charitable planning. And he says, there's someone here in Waco or Wimberley, Texas, you've got to meet. And so we did. We met this gentleman, and he used to be in our business. And he said, you know, I really saw a need for, you know, people to talk more than just about the money when it came to estate planning, because he was watching families just fall apart after, you know, generations and generations. And he has I'm not going to steal his line in here that he uses about that, but usually we all know by the third generation, wealth usually dissipates. And why is that? Well, it's because it's not because of the lack of estate planning or the lack of doing the things necessary to keep things intact, but it's the lack of education of values, of the things that really made that wealth to begin with. Right. You know, we have a saying in our business ourselves that if you haven't earned a certain amount of money, you usually can't take care of that amount of money if you inherit it. And we've seen that to be true over and over and over again. And here's just a prime example of that. So that's what he's built his business on. He calls it family-centric wealth planning. I like to call it family-centric generational planning, because that's really what it's all about. The gentleman is from Legacy Wealth Counselors in Wimberley, Texas. He used to be a CFP. He dropped all of his licenses to do just this. He's helped people create family legacy books, videos. He does family meetings, retreats, all of these things to help bring together generation after generation and keep wealth intact. And not only that, but to help the values of the family be passed on, help the things that matter most to, you know, first generation and second generation to pass on forever and ever. So really, really awesome guy on our show. You don't want to miss it. We do have a Twitter poll I want everybody to go to and answer if you can. This kind of helps us out on being able to plan our shows, though. It's at KFS Life Planning, our weekly poll. Have you started your estate planning yet? We want to know yes or no, because this could give us an idea of where we need to be with our shows, because we don't want to be too much. We don't want to be too little, right? As far as the amount of information or the quality of information. So let us know at KFS Life Planning, have you started your estate planning yet? And you don't want to miss Mr. Frank Mullen, CFP and Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy, Family Wealth Consultant of Legacy Wealth Counselors, when we come back.
Wow, that's going to be some great information coming up here on Life Planning 101. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back in, Life Planning 101 on KTX KWBY. Angela Robinson, you have a special guest.
Yes, we do. And oh, are we excited this morning. This is wonderful. Mr. Frank Mullins from Legacy Wealth Counselors. We actually introduced you before the break came on about the family-centric wealth planning that you do. And it's really the emerging standard for estate planning. It's not, you know, estate planning shouldn't be estate planning anymore and just about legal documents. It should be about what's important to the family, what are really the values that are considered. And I know you have a great backdrop of your history in this. And if you could just tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it.
Thank you, Angela. And I am an advocate for changing the way clients approach estate planning. And it really starts with the way they think about the whole process. So part one is to start from a different place. I was speaking with David York, who's an estate planning attorney. He's an author of the book Entrusted, which I heartily recommend, and I will make a resource list available later. But he just said that the last professional you should see regarding estate planning is an estate planning attorney.
Yes, I can see that.
So he is one of the few that really understands that the challenges are not technical in nature. They're personal. They're about the family. So starting from a different place is really the thrust of this, and it begins with beginning with the end in mind, a la Stephen Covey. So the different place is what I'm calling family-centric, which really it's instead of being asset-focused, it's beneficiary-focused that actually thinks about what impact will transferring wealth have on our family members. Part of the challenge with traditional estate planning is that it's linear in nature, meaning that if transferring some money is good, then transferring more money is better, right? Wrong. Have you ever seen a case of that happening where, you know, well-meaning, well-intentioned, loving parents got their estate plan in order, they got the estate tax zeroed out and got as much of the kids as possible, only to see problems just implode?
Absolutely.
Well, I would be telling you it's normal. See, it happened in my family, and this is why I do what I do, because we didn't do so well. And I did see our family's wealth basically just lost in my dad's generation, and our family just pretty much just shattered. Misplaced priorities and planning that really didn't get to the heart of the issue. So I found out about this almost 15 years ago at a training, and I just learned that this is normal, that problems relating to inheritance primarily have to do with lack of communication and trust between the generations, and then there's no preparation for those receiving it. One study showed that was about 85% of the problem, and that the financial planning, estate planning, economy, taxes, all of those combined were less than 10%. And so where does all the planning money go, though?
It goes to the estate planning. It goes to the financial planning.
Right.
It goes to the estate planning.
Right. We just have to redefine estate. I ask people all the time, it's like, what do you really want to transfer to your children? I never have had anybody say a dollar amount. I've heard them say, I hope that they have integrity, that they're honest, that they're productive and they're generous, on, all these qualitative terms, but nothing about, I want to make sure I get X amount to them. Never have I heard that.
Right.
And if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about the different capitals, but for now, I'm an advocate of saying your estate is really an expanded balance sheet that looks at the human capital, which are your family members, the spiritual capital, the intellectual capital, which is, what have you learned in life? What have the failures your experience taught you? And wouldn't it be nice if we could transfer those kind of life lessons and have our children and generations to come be able to see and hear that, to understand that life is hard? So we focus on trying to get the picture of what they would like their family to look like. What will measure whether or not the estate plan has been successful?
Right. You have a saying you use. I love, I've read it in your biography and your summary several times about shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations.
Yes. And I'm that third generation that is back in shirt sleeves, which I've actually come to appreciate after working with so many families for all this time. I've seen so many unhappy wealth recipients that have never found themselves because they never had to.
Right.
And I live in Wimberley, where there are a number of trust fund, or we like to call them remittance-addicted individuals.
That's so sweet.
Yes. Basically, a friend of mine just said, you know, I've lived on inheritance my whole life. And he was one of the most, you know, he said, I can't wait till the money runs out and I'll have to get a job. He actually became a handyman when the money ran out, and he's happier now than he ever was. There's just something contraintuitive about this, and that's what I'm about, is trying to help families realize that they understand that money's not the answer, but they need to help coach their inheritors in figuring out how much will be too much of a good thing.
That's right. You know, before the break, we mentioned we have a saying that if you haven't earned a certain amount, the same amount of money that you're going to inherit, you usually can't handle that amount of money because you don't understand the appreciation level. You know, you don't have the appreciation level of what it took to earn that money. And, you know, we see that as a huge thing for people to be able to learn that appreciation. And I know that's really what your focus is to help that next generation see that and have that. You know, because money can be a curse. You know, we often talk about it controlling us. So when we come back, we do want to get into your different classes that you have. What are these asset classes that people need to be considering when it comes to their estate planning that really aren't asset focused at all? They're really about what's important to the family.
Okay, we'll come back with more Life Planning 101 right after this. Final segment of Life Planning 101 here on KGX, KWBY. Angela, take it away.
Good morning. Good morning again. And boy, do we have a special treat. Mr. Frank Mullins with Legacy Wealth Counselors. He's a family wealth consultant. And I want to rename you because I really don't think you're a family wealth consultant. I think you're a family-centric generational planner. Isn't that more appropriate?
That is much more communicative of what I really do.
Well, take it away. I know you've got a lot to get through in this last segment of the show, and we want to hear it all. So,
all right. Well, just to kind of give you just some bullet points on the difference between family-centric and traditional. Traditional tends to be tool-driven, which is all about using things that most of the lay people do not understand, as opposed to purpose-driven, where if we can say we want all of you children to be driven, we want them to be responsible, productive adults. You know, now we've got a kind of a purpose, a North Star that will give us the purpose. I like to consider this type of planning as we're architects, we're estate planning attorneys, they are general contractors.
Right, right.
And if we don't give them a purpose, they're going to build whatever else, which is our next point, is traditionally generic.
That's correct.
Another estate planning attorney I spoke to said, if I've seen 100 different trusts or wills come in, 95% will be identical.
Wow.
And most people do not understand what they've got. Family-centric is going to be customized, thinking about thoughtfully how this transfer of wealth impacts our children. And it may, you know, it's one of those things that fair is not always equal, and equal is not fair.
No.
So that's one of the things parents have to drill down, because once they accept that, then they've got to do some hard thinking. And most of us would rather not do that kind of thinking.
That's right.
So it's just a fact. And the other big takeaway here is parents will talk to their adult children about what their assumptions are in their planning, and even if they're more than assumptions, even if they're currently planning. The real test of estate planning today, I'm going to call family-centric plans, is that it is to be shared with your beneficiaries while you're alive. That sounds so easy, doesn't it?
I know a little better than that. That makes for some awkward dinners and conversations.
Oh, it does. So the good candidates for this are those who recognize that there'll be a bigger price to pay if they don't have this conversation. Their siblings will be trying to resolve it themselves without the benefit of the parent to intervene. So just one other quick thing. Families who have gone through this sort of family-centric and have the awkward discussions and do the resolution process where we don't get everybody sing kumbaya, but at least it's been resolved. Everybody's been heard, and people who have done that, it's almost a 90% feeling of success.
That's great.
Those beneficiaries are saying, wasn't perfect, but we are so much better ahead because we did that.
That's right.
And if you don't, the opposite is true.
Right.
The majority of those that go through inheritance are saying, man, it often ends in litigation, family relationships get severed. That is one of the big points, is talk to your adult children about your plans.
That's right. You know, we always have a question we ask people, do you want good Christmases and Thanksgivings after you're gone? And it's a question that we don't often think about, what our inactions or procrastination will actually do.
Oh, it's like I just had a family retreat this weekend, and I was able to kind of bring to light from the two or three siblings saying, we have serious problems, that there's been no communication, and there's been unfair treatment. It was a challenging weekend, and it kind of got worse before it's going to get better.
Mm.
But it will get better. Everyone's been heard now, and the dad is kind of like, here's what really was sort of a denial and living in a different land. He's now struggling, but we're going to help him kind of work through this.
That's wonderful.
it does stop. The other big point is traditional plans tend to be static. I have people tell me all the time, oh, I've done my estate planning. Like, really? Because, again, if we look at estate and think of family focus, families are almost, all the ones I know are in flux. They're right. Dynamic. And so plans should be updated for events and developments.
That's right.
At least annually should be reviewed. I know you're an advocate of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's so true. You know, we don't think about how things could affect, but when you've grown three generations deep, there's a lot of people there with a lot of issues, because we all have issues. And
we do.
How
we
can
do.
That be static?
Admitted, it's so much easier.
That's right. Well, you talk a lot about, you know, when you came and did a presentation, you had a little pie chart, and I loved it. And, you know, you talked about, okay, if we're looking at all of these things on this pie chart, you know, if you could take everything away but one, what would you leave? Or vice versa, if you could only, you know, take away one, what would it be? Talk a little bit about those things, because I think this was an eye-opener for me to be able to say, this is what we need to be focusing on, you know, with our clients, to say, hey, pick the thing that's least important on this pie chart.
I've been studying what the families that thrive for multiple generations do for the last 15 years, and we've heard about how 10% are the only, that's what the actual percentage that keeps their family and their money together for more than three generations, one out of 10 families. So what I've really focused on is looking at what are the best practices for those 10% of families. What do they do? And while there are many things, the one I'd like to share today that I think is one of the most important is that they have an expanded view of their family's balance sheet. And specifically, whereas most people think of balance sheet, they immediately go to financial capital. The expanded balance sheet of thriving families really has five categories, financial being just one of them. The other four, I'll start with the human capital, and that's the actual members of the family. Now, how are they as people? What is their level of wellness? Their emotional health, their maturity, the character, just their intrinsic value. Second of all is the intellectual side, what I like to call wisdom. Are they looking, and do they see life as a school? Are they interested in self-development and optimizing just the way they solve life's problems? The next one has to do with social. Is there a sense of being a good, you know, citizen of the planet, so to speak? They have a concern for leaving the world a little bit better than they found it. So social capital is one that often is needs to be developed, and it can be learned. Then finally, number five in the capital is spiritual capital. Is there an awareness, appreciation for faith in their life? Whatever it is, do they have it? I know parents oftentimes share with me great stories of faith and how they didn't have it and then they did, and I'll ask them, it's like their testimony. I'll say, does your family know that? Oftentimes, they do not. They don't know why they are, in most cases, my clients are Christians. It's like they don't know why they know that grandpa and grandma always go to church. Well, if there's a story there, that if we can get the, you know, details and the context, it becomes really powerful. So those are the five capitals. We've got human capital, intellectual capital, social capital, spiritual capital, and finally financial. An exercise I encourage everyone to do mentally here, we know life is not fair. We don't always get everything we want. So if you're going to transfer four of those types of capital to your loved one, which one would you omit? You've got financial, which is the first often thought of. Two is human capital, which really is about intrinsic character issues. Number three, wisdom and intellectual, which those are the tools from the life of hard knocks, things that we know that we've paid a dear price to learn. Then social capital, the desire to give back. And then finally, spiritual capital. Which one of those would you omit? If you are like most people, you're going to end up saying, financial is the one I would omit. That one can be developed. It can be renewed. But the other four really cannot.
Absolutely.
Do the mental exercise of taking out any of the others.
Just doesn't make any sense, you know. But how can we think with the almighty dollar? I guess greed just interferes with all of us and all of our heads, and we know that better than anybody as advisors. You know, people make emotional decisions based on fear or greed all of the time. We let our money control us instead of controlling it, and that's it's sad. But you talk a little bit about having early and intentional preparation with families, and of course you do the family retreats, you do family meetings, you've written books. I've actually seen one, wonderful quality, about a family's generational wealth, and you do videos. But you know, if you could leave our listeners, we've got about less than a minute left, but if you could leave our listeners with, you know, one thing that they could walk away to take a step in the right direction for this family-centric generational planning, what would that be, Mr. Mullins?
I've been a financial planner for the last 20 years. Focus in the industry is always about the money. And what I want to suggest to you is that the thriving families in that 10% and their expanded family balance sheet, they see the financial capital as a resource to develop those other four quadrants and have an intentional plan that focuses on the individual beneficiaries so that the amount that's given to them in financial does not retard or diminish the other four. That's what I help families understand and implement.
Very good. I love that. Well, Mr. Mullins, thank you so much for joining us on our show this morning. Legacy Wealth Counselors, Family Wealth Consultant Frank Mullins. I know he's going to be able to have a resource list available to everybody for books and different things. So make sure, if you want this, email us lifeplanning@kennedy-financial.com. We'll also have this on our newsletter this week, so you don't want to miss that. And be sure to answer our Twitter poll at KFS Life Planning. We thank all of our listeners. Make sure you listen, and you can always go back on the archives and hear us on iTunes or iHeartRadio, KATXRadio.com or KWBYRadio.com. Thanks again. God bless. And my name is Angela Robinson with Kennedy Financial Services here in Eastland, Texas. We hope everyone has a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX and again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KATX and KWBY for more Life Planning 101.
Advisory services offered through Smart Money Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Carlton & Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Kennedy Financial Services, Incorporated is an independent of Carlton & Associates, Incorporated and Smart Money Group, LLC.